So how did your week go this week? Did you have a good week?
Yes.
You got work done that you wanted to get done?
Yeah.
Some of you maybe had more to do than others.
Yes.
Did anyone frustrated this week?
Yeah.
No one got angry this week or anything like that? Did you spend time this week every day with the Lord? Whether it's this, or praying, talking to him throughout your day. When you had decisions to make this week, did you seek the Lord in making those decisions?
Yeah.
And sometimes, even with little decisions, it doesn't hurt to ask the Lord. Did you try to pattern your life after the Lord this week? This morning, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's not been an easy one to study. It's a chapter that sometimes people like to just skip over, so it doesn't create any hard feelings within the body. It might be one that's not heard a lot. Although growing up in an Anabaptist church who was a little more conservative, we had a two-day love feast. And we had a service on Saturday afternoon, which was called a preparatory service. It was to get you ready for the Lord's Supper that evening. And I don't want to say every time, but those of us who grew up in the same church, I think a lot of the times, the scripture that was used to preach that afternoon was 1 Corinthians 11. And it had two purposes. One was, I think they wanted to make sure that the ladies wore a head covering to love feast. And the other was, this chapter deals with how we maybe behave at love feast. Because of what's said in it is why people, I don't think, like to focus on it. But sometimes I think we might be missing the point because we focus too much on the head covering and not really what Paul's trying to teach us. The first verse, chapter 11, verse 1, is follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And when I looked at commentators, a lot of them think that that should have been part of chapter 10. When this was written, there were no chapters or verses. It was just a letter that Paul wrote. Now, I don't know if I write a letter, I don't have enough paragraphs. I just kind of write everything together sometimes. But someone along the line separated this into chapters and verses. And I think there's a reason why the Holy Spirit probably had them put verse 1 with chapter 11. Most people think it deals with eating food sacrificed to idols, which is dealt with the end of chapter 10, and that Paul is just saying you should do what I do in this case. But a lot of commentators would agree that it applies to 10 and 11. And when someone says, I follow my example because I follow the example of Christ, I think that could apply to pretty much anything in Scripture, couldn't it? But I think that this is a key verse for chapter 11. Now, my Bible kind of has it with chapter 10 and then has a division after verse 1 and starts. But I think I would have had the division at the end of 10. And the reason being is when Paul says that I follow the example of Christ, that means in his life he's looking at Christ's example. He's looking at how Christ lived and what Christ did, and he's trying to do the same things. He's submitting to Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, in verse 2, he's telling, you don't see too many times in this book where Paul is praising the Corinthians. It's usually they're doing something wrong and he's trying to correct it. But, well, here he says, what's he say in verse 2? I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings just as I pass them on to you. So they were acknowledging Paul's authority because they were listening to him and they were doing what he says. Even though a couple chapters ago, we talked about how Paul had to try to convince them that he had authority to teach them. Remember? I forget what chapter that was. But here, he's acknowledging that they were acknowledging his authority by doing what he was saying and listening to what he was telling them. Jesus is an example of submitting to authority. His whole life, who's he under the authority of? God? Yeah, and we'll get to that in the next verse. But I had to think of our men's Bible study this week. On Wednesday night, our Bible study was on man and the Sabbath. So we were talking about the Sabbath, and one of the most thought-provoking questions for me is someone said, I'm not going to mention their name, but they said, do you think God had to really rest after he created for 6 days? Think about who God is. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. When we were in Germany last Sunday, getting up ready to go to the airport, you were all sleeping. But God was there with us. When you woke up, he was with you, the Holy Spirit. So do you think he really needed to rest? Honestly, did he have to rest after he created? I think not. But why did he? Because he's trying to teach us something. He's being an example for us. And so do you think when we get to verse 3 here, do you think that Jesus had to submit to the Father? That's kind of like, did Jesus have to submit to himself? I mean, Mary was kind of sharing a little bit of that in the opening about submitting. But I don't really believe he had to. But again, I think he's doing that to teach us a lesson. He was giving us an example about authority and submitting. And so there's three scriptures here. If you have Philippians 2, 5 to 8, John 5, verses 19 and verses 30, and Matthew 26, 39, we're going to read those now. These are just all examples of Jesus submitting to the Father. So let's start with Philippians. Go ahead and read that. Philippians 2, 5 to 8.
Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
And go ahead with John 5, 19 and 30.
John 5, 19. Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." And verse 30. "By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me."
26:39.
Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will."
So we see that Jesus submitted himself to the Father. Everything he did was because of the Father, wasn't it? And we see that all throughout Scripture. And so Paul's saying, that he's following Christ and he's submitting to Christ and trying to do the same things. He's trying to be an example for Jesus Christ, as Christ was an example for him. So then we get to verse 3, and I think what we're going to do here now, this whole section, verses 3 to 16, we're going to go ahead and read it. If you have that, I'm not sure who has that, Nicole. Get ready to read that. Listen to what's happening here. This whole section of Scripture has to do with submission and authority of those over us. So.
Okay. But there is one thing I want you to know. A man is responsible to Christ. A woman is responsible to her husband. And Christ is responsible to God. A man dishonors God if he covers his head while praying or prophesying. But a woman dishonors her husband if she prays or prophesies without a covering on her head, for this is the same as shaving her head. Yes, if she refuses to wear a head covering, she should cut off all her hair. And since it is shameful for a woman to have her hair cut or her head shaved, then she should wear a covering. A man should not wear anything on his head when worshiping, for man is God's glory, made in God's own image, but woman is the glory of man. For the first man didn't come from woman, but the first woman came from man. And man was not made for woman's benefit, but woman was made for a man. So a woman should wear a covering on her head as a sign of authority, because the angels are watching. But in relationships among the Lord's people, women are not independent of men, and men are not independent of women. For although the first woman came from man, all men have been born from women ever since, and everything comes from God. What do you think about this? Is it right for a woman to pray to God in public without covering her head? Isn't it obvious that it's disgraceful for a man to have long hair? And isn't it obvious that long hair is a woman's pride and joy? For it has been given to her as a covering. But if anyone wants to argue about this, all I can say is that we have no other custom than this, and all the churches of God feel the same way about it.
Okay. Yes, it's a lot. And what's all this mean? So, verse 3, we don't have any trouble with Jesus submitting to God. We don't have any trouble with man submitting to Christ. The reason people don't like to preach in this is when it comes to women submitting to men. That kind of hits a nerve, doesn't it? And so we're going to hopefully get into that this morning. In the mid-1900s, maybe the 1950s, 60s, 70s, I remember I grew up at Chickies, and Chickies, the women wore a covering. I don't know how would you describe that? It was like a little bonnet. It could have been a soup strainer. It had holes, you know, but... But, well, some of the Mennonite, I remember, would have wore like a doily on her. They'd pin it. At Chickies, you'd have like a little covering you'd pin on your head. The more plainer churches would have a bonnet they'd wear with strings, right? And then even to some not so traditional churches, women would have wore hats. So it would have been a fancy hat or a nice hat, or they were proud to wear hats. So it wasn't all that unusual. But in Jesus' time, it would have been very... From what I've read, it would have been very common. It's kind of what we think of the Middle Eastern culture now. We should have Megan here this morning maybe to share a little bit about that. And they would have had a covering and a veil that you couldn't even see their face. So it was something that was... Corinth was not a very... say it's similar to Las Vegas. They would have had a lot of vices there and things. And so there would have been prostitutes and things like that. And that would have separated maybe a Christian lady from a prostitute, because prostitutes weren't allowed to have head coverings. And anyway, so there's a lot to it, and a lot of what was going on in Paul's time. But sometimes I think in what I've grew up with at Chickies, sometimes I think wearing a covering was more important than what Paul was really trying to teach in this passage. And so sometimes we have to get past that. I think sometimes if God calls you to a body, I think we often fail trying to find a church because we'll go to a church that we like. Well, I like the preacher, or I like their programs, or I like this, or I like that. Whereas we should be asking God, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to be in your kingdom? What body should I be a part of? And sometimes he might put you in a place you least want to be. But you know that that's where he wants you to be. And so if they have certain dress codes or something like that, you just need to submit and do what they're asking. That may change over time, but the whole point is you're where God wants you to be. So let's dig in a little deeper now. One of the problems I think they were having in Corinth is that there needed to be some order in their worship. Like their worship time was a little chaotic, and I don't have time to get to the second part of the chapter, but if you read that, their love feast was very chaotic, and it wasn't honoring God because they were, I think, more concerned about themselves. Okay, and so I think that's a point that we have to understand in this passage, is sometimes we worry more about ourselves than we do other people. So we went over the structure already in chapter 3. The Greek word for head was kaphale, and it meant master, lord, or cornerstone. So when Paul used that Greek word that's translated head, he was talking about someone with authority. God over Jesus, Jesus over man over woman. But I think we need to look at that word head in a physical sense and a spiritual sense. And so it's pretty obvious if, for however it happens, if my head is separated from my body, I'm not going to live, am I? I'm going to die. Spiritually, if our head is separated from us, if we're separated from God, or I should say we separate ourselves from God, spiritually, we're going to die. There's a correlation there. And so being under the head and having a head is pretty important. None of us are going to live without a head in life, are we? So we do need a head in a spiritual sense as well. I think that has a little bit to do with why women are covered and men aren't supposed to be. So there needs to be that order. In creation, in the physical realm, when God created man, he decided that man didn't have a suitable helper. And then I guess the animals are created, there still wasn't one, or the animals were created first, but from the animals there wasn't a suitable helper, so God created woman from a rib of Adam to be a helper for him. And so that's where I think all this starts, back in creation. In a marriage, man and woman are an example of Christ and the church. And that's very important in God's kingdom. So those of us who are married, that marriage should be an example of how the church and Christ, that relationship, it should parallel that. So we might not always be doing the greatest, but that's what we should be striving for. That's what a marriage should be. And one of the ways we know that this is important is that Satan tries to destroy anything that God has made that has importance. And so in my lifetime, we saw things like equal rights. And I'm not saying that equal rights are wrong, but I'm saying that man and women are not the same. God created us for different purposes, and he made us differently. And Satan tries to get rid of that. Now, the big thing today is gender. If I'm a man and want to be a woman, well, I can put chemicals in my body to change it, and I might become more like a woman, but I'm not going to become a woman. That's not possible. At least man hasn't figured a way to do that. I can tell you, man hasn't even figured a way to make a knee like God made it, right, Judy? You know, it's, and those of us who have physical issues understand that. But also, transgenderism, homosexuality, all those were designed by Satan to destroy God's perfect plan. And as we think about getting back to to chapter 11, as we think about that, I think one verse is very important for us to remember as we go through the rest of this chapter, and that's Romans 12, verse 3. And that says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." To be submissive, one of the things we have to do is follow that verse. We can't think of ourselves more highly than we ought. So, should our heads be covered or not? Isn't that the thing in the scripture here? So I'm going to go through why Paul is saying this. And he's using the head covering as an example that they would have really understood. Now, if he used that today, there's a lot of people that wouldn't understand that because they don't know anything about head coverings or not head coverings. Why do men usually take their hat off when they pray? Do you know? Because of this scripture. And so a lot of people wouldn't understand things like that. So a man's head, verse 4, should be uncovered when praying or prophesying. It says that right here in scripture, right? What's Paul meaning when he says that? Now, one of the things I thought was interesting, when you look at covering, and all the times covering, uncovered, covered is used in these verses, there's three different Greek words that are used. And two of those Greek words mean something physically on your head, like a hat, like a covering or a bonnet or something like that. In verse 4, the word that's translated covering for a man comes from the Greek word kata. And it means, and this didn't make sense to me, it means down from and throughout. And so I pondered that. It doesn't make sense. How do you get covering out of that? So the commentators kind of came to the conclusion that that's referring to verse 14 where it says a man shouldn't have long hair, which is kind of contradictory because Paul would have had long hair when he took a vow of a Nazarite. You know, you didn't cut your hair, you didn't drink. But what this is meaning is that your hair shouldn't be covering your eyes. And I don't know the spiritual reason for that. I'm just sharing you what I've learned in studying this. So your hair shouldn't be covering your eyes if you're a man. It doesn't say anything about the back of your head or anything, but not your eyes. I'm sure there's a spiritual application there, because if our eyes are covered, we can't see. But that's what that means in this verse. Every other time, it's, like I said, the hat. Jewish men, what do they wear when they pray? Or a skull cap. They have a cap on. And so the spiritual application here is that the reason the Jews would wear a skull cap is to remind them that there's somebody higher than them, above them, watching over them. It doesn't sound like a bad idea, does it? But for the Christian, wearing something on your head would symbolize that you're still in spiritual darkness. So when you became a Christian, when you realized that you were a sinner and you repented and you asked Christ to come into your life, Jesus Christ's blood covered your sin. And so when that happens, when we are sinless because of that, we're allowed to come into the presence of God. So in a spiritual sense, I hope you're understanding this. In a spiritual sense, when you have your head uncovered, that means that you've accepted that blood and you can come into God's presence. Does that make sense? I'm going to give it time for questions after this is over. I probably won't be able to answer any of them, but we can do more research. But that's kind of what that's signifying. Now, when a woman is supposed to cover her head, the reason she's to cover her head is because she's under the authority of who? man. Man is earthly. It's a physical thing. We're sinners. And so that's connected, I think, with the thought of there's someone higher than man that I'm under the authority of. That's where I'm coming out. I don't, is this making sense to you? So that's one of the reasons women are not to have their head uncovered while men are. Why women are to have their head covered and men are not. It's confusing. But that's kind of, I think, where this is all coming from. So the point, I think, of all this, all that Paul's going through, has to do with submitting to authority. Okay, and I'm going to go through some things here at the end, but I have some scriptures on us submitting to authority, and they're Romans 13:1, 1 Peter 2:13, Titus 3:1. So you can go ahead and read those now. This is just a couple. You'll see this all throughout Scripture, and you know where it says we should be submitting to authorities and those over us. Even the Christians were being told to submit to Nero when he was killing them, to his authority. So that's the kind of difficult thing this chapter is talking about. But let's read these scriptures. Romans 13:1.
I'll start again. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God.
First Peter 2:13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme. Should I continue or stop there?
Just okay. And then the last one is Titus 3:1.
Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good.
So we all understand we need to submit. For that to happen, we need to put others before ourselves too. And so I think those are some of the messages that Paul's trying to get through to the Corinthian church. We were created, I think, with a desire to self-preserve ourselves, like put ourselves first. And we grew up in a culture that taught us, if you want something, just buy it. If you have money, and buy something, whatever you want, and enjoy life. We're told if you want to be a different gender, just go ahead and do that. There's all sorts of things that are pointing to me first. When we become a Christian, that all needs to change. We can't be thinking like we were in the past. We need to start patterning our lives after Jesus Christ. That means submitting to him. That means doing the things he's asking us to do. And I think that wasn't happening in the Corinthian church. And I think probably the reason that the head covering is brought up here is because there's probably an issue in a Corinthian church because the prostitutes not having a covering and Christians should, that was probably all part of that issue. But the root thing is we need to be submitting to our Heavenly Father in everything he's asking us to do. So when it comes between the relationship of man and woman, this is what causes a big problem, because women don't like to hear submit to man, because some people you're being asked to submit to aren't too godly maybe, and aren't too kind, and aren't doing the things they should, but still that command is still there. Man was created first. Woman was created to help man. We're different. Men tend to be a little stronger, maybe a little more athletic in most cases. Women tend to be more compassionate, and more caring. Women are more emotional. Men are more logical. Man came from woman. Without a woman, we wouldn't be here, guys. The only one that can say that was Adam, who was created by God. And so there's an interdependency. We are created to, as man and woman, to reflect the relationship of Christ and the church. We're given authority over women, but that doesn't mean we're smarter or better than women. Let me give you an example. Say I have a company with 10 people, and we're really having financial problems because we're really behind in tech. We're old school, and everybody else is getting so much more done than us. And so I go out and hire Justin because Justin knows a lot about technology. So he's going to be my information technology guy, my IT guy. And so I still have authority over Justin, but he's smarter than me. Without him, the company's going to go. So just because you have authority over someone doesn't mean you're better than him. Do you understand that? And there are those of you who probably work for somebody who, without you, the company would have been in big trouble. You know, or maybe you were in charge of a company and you had people that you'd be out of business if you didn't have them. So we need to understand what it means to be an authority. But there needs to be somebody who's making decisions. And a good decision maker listens to the people under them, whether it's a male or a female, right? There's effects in the spiritual realm when we submit to others that I don't think we always understand. I think one of the most difficult verses in here that we didn't really look at is verse 10. Let me just read it out of the NIV. For this reason and because of the angels, a woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head. So it's saying that when a woman's head covering is covered, that covering is a sign of authority on her head. And by doing that, it affects their worship. The angels are connected there. So I believe that there's angels here this morning. I think if we are doing what God wants us to, and we're worshiping, and we truly love the Lord, and we're worshiping with all our heart, that affects the spiritual realm around us. I think that would empower the angels around us. If there's angels here protecting us, I think that would empower them. But I don't understand how all that works. But what we do in the physical realm does affect what happens in the spiritual realm. I think we all believe that. But we just don't understand always how that happens. So what Paul is saying in verse 10 is that if a woman is being submissive to a man, that makes a difference in the spiritual realm. Likewise, as men, you're not off the hook either, even though you have headship over your wife. Because you're following the example of Christ. Do I need to tell you, men, what Christ did for you? He gave up heaven to come down for each of us. He spent his whole life ministering to others. He was putting others first in everything he did. He was healing people. He was ministering to them. All his time was spent helping other people, even to the point that he was willing to die on a cross for each one of us so that we could come into the presence of God. So now how do you feel about patterning your life after Christ now, men? That's the kind of husband. If we would be a husband like that, I don't think there'd be any trouble with submission, ladies, would there? So it's a two-way street, and we need to understand that we're all under someone else's authority. Scripture tells us that we're all created in God's image, male and female. We're created in God's image. I think we have his spirit in us, and we're connected to him in ways I can understand maybe that much out of that much. We don't understand all that goes on in the spiritual realm, but what we do here, it does affect that. So just as women in 10 submit to man opens up the spiritual realm, when we submit to Christ, that also opens up power, I think, in the spiritual realm. So that's the life God is calling us to. I'm not sure what would... We don't have a covering here at New Beginnings, but what would take the place of that? I should have spent some time thinking about that. I think one of the things that we're called to do is intercede for one another. And so you remember the people in your group, just pray for them this week. That will make a difference in their life, but it also will make a difference in the spiritual realm. And so we as humans don't like to be under authority. But as Christians, that's what God is calling us to do. So that's where I want to stop, because if I keep going on, I think I'll get in trouble because it's late enough already. But the rest of the chapter is the same sort of thing. There were issues of selfishness. When they got together at Love Feast, people were coming drunk. I mean, they weren't concerned about their... Some people had food to eat because they brought it. Maybe this half we're eating pretty good over here, but they don't have any food. So do you see how contrary that is to God's purpose and calling for us? And so Paul is trying to get them to think of other people, to submit to those in authority, and to try to pattern their lives after what Christ wanted them to be doing. So does anybody have any questions or comments? You can let me have it if you want. But it's an important... Dave. But that shows happy wife, happy life. That shows putting others before yourself. And that, I think that's one of the messages here. Doesn't matter what position you're in, that's one of the messages. That's a good question.
What I'm asking for specifically is people don't want that in general. They're going to say, why should I be unhappy? And that affects many relationships.
I think true happiness only comes when we know Jesus Christ. I mean, I think we see that in the life of the apostles. One of the things that, you probably weren't there that, but one of the weeks when we were watching The Chosen, and this just sticks in my brain, is I think Jesus was talking to, I think it was Thaddeus, but I could be wrong. And he was trying to convince Thaddeus to follow him, and he's kind of saying, well, you're going to be persecuted, you know, you're going to have a rough life, you'll probably be killed. You know, he's saying all these things, and I'm thinking, wait, I think I'm going to find someone else to follow. But there's truth to that. And so just because you become a Christian doesn't mean life is going to be easier. In some cases, in some countries, for sure, it's a lot worse. And yet, once you come into God's presence and experience that, it's just, that's what brings joy. And so that's a good question. But all we can do is tell people about, Christ and let the Holy Spirit work in their lives. But yeah, when Jesus said that, I can't believe that Thaddeus, there was something about Jesus, his life, his example, I think, of the things he was doing and caring for other people and ministering to other people, even though it was a rough road, he was willing to. So I guess maybe we need a better job of being an example and during the week, when we're with people that don't know the Lord.
I've heard one question when somebody is kind of saying, why would I follow Christ? Instead of following your own way, the person says, well, how's that going for you? If you're doing it your way, how's that going for you? How's that working for you? that we must choose joy. Happiness to me is always a secular way of, like, I'm not going to be happy always, but I'm going to choose joy. I don't know if that makes sense, but to me it does.
That's a good, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that sums it up good, Luann. Thank you. That's the chapter. So we have to remember that this was separated. This connects to chapter 10. What you just said, Bob, really connected to chapter 10 because Paul says, well, if someone told you this meat was offered to an idol, then you shouldn't eat it. But if nothing's said, there's no... So be sensitive to others, yeah. But yeah, Christ, promoting Christ and drawing people to the Lord come first. No. Do you want me to go on today?
That one always was a hang up too.
Long and short hair.
That's okay.
We'll have a private session.
Long and short hair, there's that
too. You read it this morning? Or you heard it read? Right. So I think maybe if wearing a covering is going to help you ladies lead someone to Christ, by all means, put one on. And if not having one on is going to help you lead someone to Christ, take yours off. Because that's what's important. But you still are under authority that you have to be careful sometimes at how you do things or where. But putting others first, that's different than what the world, and that's the whole point, I think, behind this. So instead of getting caught up in the covering thing, I'm not saying it's wrong to wear one, but let's worry more about thinking about others and submitting and ministering and patterning our lives after Jesus Christ. Any other comments? I'll close in prayer. If you have comments, you can ask or share afterwards, unless someone wants to say something quick. Heavenly Father, we love you, and sometimes we wonder why you put things in Scripture, and we just have to dig a little deeper sometimes, and some things are difficult in life, Father. Above all, though, we want to be like you, Jesus, and there's nobody that gave more for others than you, and I don't know how we can compare or even try to be like you, but help us to be an example to others with our lives so that they'll know we're different, Father. And they'll know that's because of you. We need to let them know that, Father. And so be with us as we go out into the world this week. Help us not to miss opportunities you give us. Work in our hearts and our lives, Father. Draw us closer to you. We want to be more like you. So anything you can do to help us, we just ask that you would do that, Father. So thank you for your word. Thank you for brothers and sisters who love one another here. And just thank you for the way you watch over and take care of us. In your name we pray, amen.